Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight, the 30-year-old manly consumer. Oh my god, I've been waiting for this meme. I've been feeling the need of this meme, and I didn't even know it. That is absolutely wonderful. We needed a meme that would talk about those guys who buy these marketed products for manly men, these razor blades that come with a subscription and they come in a wooden box. The 30-year-old manly consumer. Joe Rogan and Andrew Tate are so based and manly. That Jack Murphy guy is pretty great too. It's not wet wipes, it's dude wipes, lol. Odd fascination with Baby Yoda. I'm a conservative veteran, and here's why we need common sense gun control. Bro, it's like shaving cream, but for my balls, bro, get it? Because my balls are so hairy and manly, haha. Check out my manly soap. It's so freaking manly because it's big and smells like whiskey. Always wears weird, oddly specific shirts about beers, tattoos, or balls. Consumes any product that is marketed to manly men. Fuck Starbucks, bro, I only drink manly Black Rifle coffee, and yet doesn't own a gun. It's amazing, I didn't know, but this is a real thing. This Duke Cannon, big American bourbon soap, they went there, they are selling this Duke Cannon big American soap, $9.50 a piece, plus shipping cost. The day you spend $9.50 on a single soap bar, you've made it. You are a comfortable person. They say in the early days of the American frontier, rugged pioneers indulged with a dry buffalo steak and a pull of whiskey, not a $12 apple tini and plate of bruschetta. Duke Cannon honors that independent pioneer pioneering spirit by partnering with Buffalo Trace Distillery to add their award-winning Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey to this big American bourbon soap. It's unbelievable the efforts that are deployed to market to the manly attitude. I'm not personally moved by this. I've never consumed a manly product. I consume straight products. I don't consume feminine products, but I don't consume manly products. They are overpriced. They are mostly decoration, like you have these razor blades and they're wrapped in a wooden box with a big beard printed on it or sometimes engraved into it. I don't feel that I need any of this. I don't need the axe deodorant or whatever. I don't need any of these products. And dude wipes, I didn't know. Maybe it's a real thing. I don't need wet wipes for anything in my life. At least not for myself. Whitehouse.gov publishes new executive order on biological and bioengineering research for biotechnology and biomanufacturing to help us achieve our societal goals. The United States needs to invest in foundational scientific capabilities. We need to develop genetic engineering technologies and techniques to be able to write circuitry for cells and predictably program biology in the same way in which we write software and program computers. Unlock the power of biological data, including through computing tools and artificial intelligence. When are we starting to have a discussion on how dangerous this all is? I'm here, I'm available, I'm on the internet on an every night basis. Why aren't the bioethicists starting to talk about the phenotypic revolution? We're about to cause it. The White House is headed there, and they don't seem to be aware at all. Landalt Guntram says, futuristic dystopia pushed by whitehouse.gov. Lol. Well, that's what it is, yes. Dr. Deadname says, JF chops his own wood and knits his own clothes out of polar bear skin. Yeah, when you do that, you don't need the the manly deodorant. This is what I like about Gab. You end up with some intelligent post on there. This just doesn't exist on Twitter. This guy says, this is the predictable slippery slope of high school sex ed. Just as gay marriage has brought us to a place where half the population wants the other half to say men can get pregnant. Humanity got along just fine without sex ed. European civilization flourished without sex ed. America became a hyperpower before sex ed was a twinkle in a pervert's eye. Somehow we learned about sex without school teachers rolling rubbers over bananas or inserting butt plugs into mechanist dolls. No sex ed for most of history, and yet we persisted. That's because sex education is not really about sex. It's about depopulation and normalizing deviant, dysfunctional behavior like sluttiness and butt fucking. The agenda of sex ed is abortion, contraception, do what you want, but safely. It is an agenda of fornication without procreation. The verbalist class vermin pushing this grotesque kindergarten sex ed idea have always had this goal in mind, depopulating the earth, severing women from their womb, and isolating men from their protective instincts, destruction of childhood innocence, and the void left behind to be filled with the inert spilled seed of desouled dopamine addicts. That is absolutely well framed. That is exactly what it is. We are in a very contradictory society that says, all right, we're going to have all this sex ed. But the one thing that is not the target of sex ed is preserving sex for what it truly is. Sex exists because of reproduction. If you're doing sex in any other way, you're doing it wrong. You're misfiring. So yes, I wish that sex ed was abandoned in full. There's no gain to it. People can very well transmit this knowledge within families. In a very quick way. There's not much to learn about safe sex. And anyways, the public school will never be fit to teach the true safety ways of having sex, because as I've made the argument on Gab, the best way to protect yourself against unsafe sex is heterosexual marriage, and that you won't ever hear it on your sex education class. Fractal Man says, the manly consumer, I love it. We need more on the right speaking out about the dangers of consumerism. John Drake says, I've failed to get you on InfoWars, JF. I'm going to see if Bannon is interested. Oh, well, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing because when you think about InfoWars, I would be open to get on there. I've been writing to Alex Jones back in the days, never replied, but they will get any kook lined up for their show, but they won't get a scientist who has actually a theory, a PhD scientist with a theory. It's like, holy shit, it's my impression that I would up the level of the discussion at InfoWars if I was on there. Not only this, I can be entertaining on top of it. So it's very fascinating, just the low-level guests that they can have, but they won't have me. See that? I just don't get it. In what dimension would my presence on InfoWars lower the average quality? Not a single one. I am more educated, more intelligent, more truthful than more than 95% of who they would get on there. So I don't know what you did. Did you send them an email? I don't know. But it's amazing how this platform is totally arbitrary. They have their friends and they're circulating within that circle and they don't get much outside of it. And it's an arbitrary circle when in fact the revolutionary phenotype is actually a scientific theory that confirms better than anything else a lot of the things that Alex Jones has said. When Alex Jones talks of a future of genderless controlled reproduction, he's accidentally touching on TRP. I would love to be here to be there to educate him and educate his audience about, yeah, you know, Alex, you're right. You're more right than you may think and that you could possibly think. Cloud Warmer says, Jeff, you might need to bullshit your way onto InfoWars by pretending to be a grifter who participates their level of bullshit. Then tip off the tables when you get on live. Surprise, motherfuckers, it's time for TRP. Yeah, maybe I'm not crazy enough for them. Maybe that's what it is. I mean, this whole world will fall and will get judged by the future people, man. I can't express how we will look back at this time of ignorance as a dark age at some point in humanity. Callum Oxworth says, people who watch JF don't buy thousands in snake oil supplements. I like Alex, but that's the reason. Oh yeah, maybe they would have problems with me if they were to start saying, what do you think about our supplement? I'm kind of direct. Woman discovers unborn baby she's carrying is not genetically hers. Hospital says it's looking for the biological parents after IVF. This is one of the dangers of IVF. We had seen the case of a doctor who had masturbated and inseminated basically all of the women who had come to his clinic. Basically, the people who believed they were the fathers of this IVF process ended up finding that this physician was the one inseminating everyone. Okay, Val is calling me a cuck here and inviting people to other channels. Here, I'm gonna ban you. not that I'm even against publicity. You can do some degree of publicity on my chat, but not while you call me a cuck. If you call me a cuck, you are making it a matter of impoliteness toward me. So yes, this woman ended up hosting the egg of another woman. You never know in these laboratories. Maybe the little vial that contains your egg is a couple of millimeters away from the vial that contains the other egg. All that's needed is a little pipette error or some egg that sticks and that ends up being mislabeled, perhaps. So yeah, IVF is definitely not the ideal. The ideal is make babies while you are young and healthy and you don't need IVF, and do it the natural way. And, you know, during the period of insemination, always be with the woman. That way there's no doubt that she has went to fuck another guy. Just always inseminate continuously during her period of fertility. Sunset Buffalo sends a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, does a woman need to work out multiple times per week in order to have a nice sculpted ass? Or is it possible to do a more reasonable routine such as walking? This will be specific to every woman. There are women who genetically will just never get fat. And so these women, they will remain thin, and then the shape of their ass will be determined by simply genetics, and it won't ever get big. There are other women who may need to do workouts. It's all about the calorie intake, the genetics, the tendency to accumulate fat, and that's pretty much it. Now, I, for one, do not, I like the woman's ass natural. I do not like signs of heavy workout in a woman at the level of the shoulder, the biceps, the ass. I believe that a woman's body does not become more beautiful as it gets more athletic in terms of muscularity. To me, the ideal woman is thin and beautiful, but not built muscularly in any way. Any sign of muscularity, whether it's in the ass or the shoulders, to me makes the woman more masculine and less interesting. But that is just my personal taste. I know there are guys who like muscular woman, but to me, Sarah Connor in Terminator 2 is just a little bit above my limit, just a little too muscled. Now, thankfully, Sarah Connor had beautiful dialogue and she had a great role in Terminator 2. But in terms of her body, it was a little too built, a little too much. And she wasn't built very much. She was still very feminine. But I detect testosterone at like at a 5% threshold of what it can be and where I don't need much to turn me off. All right, that is it for the small news. I wanted also to talk about Sweden. Red Ice TV, Henrik Pahlgren, has an extremely good explanation of the current state of Sweden politics. So I will merely do a summary of what he says here and my understanding of it. But I highly recommend you go watch Sweden Just Turned Far Right? On Red Ice TV. The link will be in the description below. What Henrik is saying is there's lots of talks right now in the Swedish media that there was a victory of the far right, and it's really not happening. let me just hear. Those are the results of Sweden. The great gain has been for the Swedish Democrats, and it's important to understand that although they are called Democrats, they are not Democrats like the Democrats of America. They don't represent the left, they represent the right in Sweden. Now, Henrik Pahlgren was saying, yeah, it's good that this party has expanded its representation, but even that party is not enough against immigration to make much of a difference in current Sweden. So even that party, which gets treated as the far right in Sweden, is barely right wing at all. Then he points out, and then you have these more moderate right wing parties that are basically centrist. So basically what the media is saying right now is, well, the right won. Look, they have 49.6%. 48.9% on the side of the left. So the current government has been successfully beat. So the, whether it's a prime minister or a president, I don't know, but she is resigning. She has announced that she is resigning. And then it will be a matter of what kind of coalition can build itself up to 50% to determine the next government. And what it looks like it could be based on this graph is that you might have enough on the right to, if they team together and convince the liberals to be with them, to have the biggest number and to get the governmental power. And then they would determine within their parties which one will we give a given number of ministry to SD, will we give a number of ministry to M, or to L, the other parties, or KD. This is what will be determined. But as Henrik points out, you can very well have still, as of today, it's not determined whether there will be an alliance of the moderates against SD. So if they want to isolate SD, if all these parties get together, and M here, the kind of center-right party, betrays SD, they could very well team up with the left and form still a very leftist government. So you have two options. Either the mainstream party or more moderate party will team up to crush SD, or you'll have SD forming a government with the right-wing parties, but it will be extremely diluted, and they will have to deal with the leverage of the other parties that may block their most right-wing potential policies. So in any case, we are headed towards something either very leftist or very centrist. We are not looking at a full victory of the right. It is a small victory in the sense that they have expanded their representation. That means some people in Sweden are starting to be pissed at the state of criminality and the effects of immigration on the country. But it's far from a domination here. Sansom Kaminem says, does JF believe in interracial dating? Well, I believe that there are benefits to staying within your race. So I encourage people who can do it to let this option be your first option. However, you have to recognize there are some guys, and I often speak to them on the phone here in an Ask Me Anything. And if they call me and they say, JF, I cannot find a single white woman, but I have this wonderful Asian woman. Go for it. You have to understand, if you date racially, which is a totally decent path to take, you're not doing it for the race. This is what people mistake, and this is where they think that just because I will recommend to a given person in a given situation, yeah, go with the Asian girl, generally, you have to keep in mind that even if you were to date preferentially within the white population, you don't do it for whiteness. You're not doing it as a sacrifice to your nation. You're doing it because white women are better, period. If that's your rationale, you're well aligned. If you're doing it for yourself and for her, that is good. If you are just rejecting quality Asian women for celibacy as a white man, then you're totally disaligned with your own genetic interests. Your own genetic interests are such that you want to choose within the best population you can to have a quality female. But if you cannot find such a quality female, you must extend your umbrella of choice. And there is no stoppage. You can't stop making babies. That is never in your genetic interest not to make babies. So it's important to understand these bases. Now, once we have established these bases, that mate choice is about you, not about your race, your group, or solidarity, then we can say, yes, maybe in most situations, mate choice within your race is desirable. Grapes Coda says, I want my children to have appropriate partners, so it's also within my genetic interest to discourage race mixing, especially amongst my ideological cohort. Well, then if you're talking about influencing society, that's a different thing. But you should totally distinguish in your head between what I want for myself and how I want to influence society. And sometimes the two will align. In my case, they align because I'm kind of a public speaker and people trust me and I want to maintain that trust. So whenever someone calls me on and asks me anything, I basically give them the counsel that is best for them, that I think is best for them. But you may have political projects that are different for yourself and for the rest of your nation. Cloud Warmer says, JF, is Amazon the best place to buy TRP? If you want to buy it at the best price, it's the best place. If you want to pay a little more to get the hardcover version, then the best place is Lulu. Lulu makes this hardcover version. It's really just a better quality cover, but it's worth it. I mean, it's extra money for you to pay. So if you can't afford it, it's totally fine to get the paperback on Amazon. But if you're into collecting a beautiful and solid exemplary of the revolutionary phenotype, then you want to go on Lulu to get that beautiful solid border. The hardcover, you can tap it and it just takes it, and it doesn't deform unless you expose it to unrealistic forces. So Amazon, if you want the paperback, is the best. And Lulu, if you want the hardcover, is the best. Swedish PM resigns after right far-right poll win. Again, it's not so much a right far-right victory. It's just an increasing number of votes for them. Vol says, JF, just a heads up, the guy you banned earlier had usurpated my username. It's very annoying that you can have duplicates on Odyssey. I was suspecting that he was a duplicate, because I was like, Vol has been among us for a long time. I wouldn't see him calling me a cuck. I was suspecting, I didn't say a thing because I didn't know, but I was suspecting that you would come back to us at some point and tell us, hey, this guy had a nickname like me. Yeah, it's too bad. There should be some effort on the side of Odyssey to develop a technique of uniqueness. If people could have the same nickname, perhaps have a little distinguisher, and the system, of course, of images, maybe one way you can distinguish yourself. Spindly Opinion says, if I get TRP on Audible, do you get much of that cash? Because I have credits to use of. I get good cash from Audible. I don't make as much money as the paperback, because Audible has fixed prices, so I cannot increase the price to make more money. So to give you an idea, a paperback, I can make $14 profit deposited in my account on it, USD. So paperback, $14 profit. Audible is about $10 profit. But I also have a bounty system, and if you get subscribed to the monthly thing after, there are times where Amazon, for somehow, where Audible having attracted you to a monthly subscription through the Revolutionary Phenotype, I can get $80 on this. Now it happens, it happens when it happens. I've had months where I've had like 8 to 10 bounties. But, you know, it depends on the attractability of this whole monthly subscription thing. And I certainly don't want to promote the monthly subscription thing, because, okay, I'll be making a good $80. But then, like, you're captured by Audible, basically, and they will make money from you from now on. So that's how it is. It's $10 profit for audiobook, $14 profit for paperback. And if I sell a Lulu hardcover, but now you're paying more for this, it's something like $20, 20, 21, 22, I don't remember exactly. The percentage that I get from it is a little lower, because the price of printing a hardcover is much higher. Printing a paperback costs total less than $4. Printing a hardcover costs total about $12 to $13. And then you have the platforms taking their cut, the credit cards taking their cut, and then the rest goes to the editing house. Now, in my case, since it's self-publishing, there's no middleman. There's no editing house other than the little editing house name that we've printed on the book. But, you know, it's not a editing house that takes the cuts very much. Quite. Since $51. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, I have a way for people to not be able to impersonate others on Odyssey. No one can impersonate me because I always super chat, never in the regular chat. Try copying that, trolls. That is true. And it's been my philosophy as far as internet media goes, that, you know, follow the money. because there's so much unnatural interactions on the internet. I mean, I think we're in a small corner of the internet here, and I can trust most regular chatter that they are honest and they are real people. But back in the days, there was so much spam, so much trolls, so much people interested in having false and non-genuine interaction or getting me into trouble, that you ultimately, the fact that you have to pay to get a super chat is already a pretty high barrier, you know? And most people who get their own money into something, they don't want to ruin it. So that's a very good approach to interact with the internet. Set a bar to avoid the too much trolling, and then try to pick the quality through some method, either money based or based on the reputation of nicknames and the fact that they've been around for a long time and that kind of stuff. Cloud Warmer says white is based and pay pilled. That's the pay pill. WH white has been taking the pay pill. Emil Kickergaard says some mental disorders have positive relations to intelligence. Eating disorders being one of the strongest, looks like about 8 IQ higher than the mean across a dozen studies, estimated intelligence quotient in anorexia nervosa. So apparently the people who have anorexia, mostly a young woman, they are on average 8 points higher in IQ. I'm not surprised. Anorexia nervosa is often talked about as an eating disorder, but I personally don't classify it as an eating disorder. I think we must have a psychiatric and psychological understanding of anorexia. Anorexia is not related to your stomach or your food processing. It ends up impacting your eating because you stop eating. But anorexia truly stems from increased self-monitoring and increased self-disgust in young women who want to appear the most thin they can. Yes, Cosmic Nut says it's a body image disorder. That's exactly what it is. And it's the fact that beauty is so important in females that we have evolved in our species self-monitoring aspects to it. So basically, females have evolved to look at themselves and try to look as beautiful as they can. And anorexia nervosa is just the extreme expression of that self-monitoring desire to a pathological level that may threaten life in some instances. But it's not surprising that there's the relation with IQ. There's also a relation with race. I think anorexia is basically a white psychiatric disorder by a lot. It's much, much, much rarer. It's much rarer to find anorexia in other races. So it's all about achieving beauty. It's all about increasing disgust and increasing a kind of psychosis, but not a schizophrenic one. It's a kind of psychosis that develops around, this is disgusting. Oh, don't talk like this. And anorexia people, young anorexic women, they find a lot of things disgusting. And that was shown by a colleague of mine at Duke. You can show them images and they will have this disgust reaction in the upper lip muscle, and they will do it just more often than others. So we have to understand that it's at the brain level and it's in the circuitry that is meant for self-improvement and self-monitoring. And you know, in a society that is so high in calorie, I wouldn't say that anorexia is good to have, but I would say there are there are disorders in the other sense of caloric intake that are much graver and that affect much more people. John Drake says, I know a genius woman that has anorexia. Anecdotal, I know. Yeah, I mean, I think you need a certain level of IQ to develop this kind of pathology of self-monitoring, because if you're really stupid, it's just going to be like, oh, Twinkies. I want more Twinkie. KFC, give me some breast. Give me some white chicken. It's very hard at 60 IQ to be like, oh, we live in such a high calorie state these days. I must reduce my intake so that I can be as beautiful and as successful in modern society as possible. These thoughts don't come to your mind at 60 IQ. Judge unseals less redacted version of affidavit used for Mar-a-Lago search warrant. I didn't learn anything from this supposedly less redacted version. Still, you know, the reasons and the crimes that are being suspected and the logic of the presentation by the FBI are still very much hidden from us. So I'll have to wait for a better release. Send Some Coming In says, what's wrong with chicken? Nothing really. It's wrong when you roll it in oil and then bread it and then re-roll it in oil and then add some eggs so that you can put some more breading and then deep fry it in further oil. There's nothing wrong with the chicken. You're right. It's just that if you eat this breaded KFC chicken all the time, you're going to get very fat. Bernie Sanders blocks proposal which would have avoided a rail strike. So Senator Bernie Sanders blocked a Republican effort to require railroad employees and companies to accept recommendations of a nonpartisan panel in order to avoid a strike, which, if it goes through, will impact millions of Americans. Yeah, I mean, they have the right to strike, so the government shouldn't be there and trying to set the game against them, because once the government comes and says, you're going to have to accept this arbitration mechanism, then you are depriving people of their leverage of improving their own condition of life. There's an article in Quebec in radiocanada.ca about old people. They find themselves in old people's residence, and very often they are very much isolated from family, and they just have less people to check on them. And they are talking about the increasing medication of these people under antipsychotics, but without them suffering from a psychotic disorder. So we're at the point, and this made me think about Ted Kaczynski. We're at the point where we are medicating with antipsychotics just because it keeps these old people calmer, gives less trouble to the nurse, and we are in a very conflicted decision-making process here, because are we just basically lobotomizing them chemically for the purpose of them being easier to handle by the staff, or are these medications being given to them because they truly benefit from them? Of course, they are talking about the fact that there's been in the recent year an increasing use of antipsychotics outside of the context of an actual schizophrenia. That's very worrying, because we are into behavioral modification for the purpose of reducing expenses for the state at this point. Because that's nothing else than the doctors of the state telling you, with your health insurance from the state, we're going to give you these medications, which you don't have the disease for, but we're going to give them to you because it makes the state nurse work less hard, and you're less aggressive with her, and she's going to have less problems handling you. If you can avoid these old person's residence, I think it's becoming worse and worse. And we've seen so much scenes of abuse captured on camera, you know, violent people who are hired there for some reason, and they just go, they just start striking on old white people because they like it, apparently. Very dangerous place to be. Of course, some people won't have a choice to end there. That's too bad, but I would love it if I can be not a burden to my family. I would love to stay home and die in my bed instead of going to these places where maybe you're gonna get a kind nurse and a kind doctor, but maybe you won't. Then some says, what will JF do when Trudeau comes to his home to move him into the camps? I don't think it's happening, you know. I think definitely our rights are being violated. So, for example, during the whole COVID pandemic, they hit hard on the right to travel to the point where we couldn't travel between provinces. We couldn't even see our family. But if you understand this system and you don't activate its triggers, you can live a peaceful life away from the system, and they won't bother you too much. You have to be careful on every point, and you have to check yourself, and you shouldn't have to check yourself, and you shouldn't have your right to travel abolished because some bureaucrat decided that COVID was a grave thing as opposed to any of the past respiratory diseases. But all that being said, if you're clever and you understand how this system, because it's stuck in its own bureaucratic self-justification, it won't just knock at your door and kidnap you. It's trying to make laws that you will, it's trying to put traps in remote mind so that eventually you can't even step there. But if you're careful and you don't step on any of these mines, you can survive in a communist country with, to be honest, quite a degree of liberty. Quite a degree. And that's not speaking for the communism and for the state of Canadian politics. But you have to understand that your life can be withdrawn from the system in an effective way. And I would be lying if I was just to tell you, oh no, it's terrible under Trudeau. I feel oppressed every day. It's not happening because I've deployed the tactics necessarily to not feel that way. Just like there must have been thousands of farmers and old friends who were under a monarchic regime, but they had chosen a spot and they had chosen a lord and they had went there and they got left alone to live their life. So sometimes you don't have theoretical rights, but you have actual liberty. That's what it is in Canada right now. And I don't expect to be moved into a camp. White sends $71. Oh my God, thank you so much for your generosity. He says, JF, you say it's good for people to make babies with Asians over making no babies. But more creative Af-Asians might be a threat to that man's brother and cousin having kids, which might stop a future doppelganger of him from emerging. You are overtaking this so much because the basic rule of evolution is make babies. If you don't make babies, you're not even into the game. Now you can deceive yourself, and this is what I was talking about on Discord this afternoon with someone who was saying, JF, if making a baby with a French woman leads to a baby that is less related to me than a fellow English-British person, then why not make babies at all? And why not trust the mathematics of if I help my nation, there will be people with my genes inside my nation? And this is an argument we've had with Fadam, and Fadam has come up with beautiful thinking on this across the years. It's basically, if you're doing this, if you're starting to trust other people to make babies for you, eventually you are adopting a strategy that can make you nothing else than a sterile worker for a queen system. And it really doesn't matter that the system has not developed to a point where the queen looks physically different. You are effectively starting a queen sterile worker system. Any person who relies on kin selection like this, instead of making their own baby, they are entering an exploitable system where they are the sterile worker and someone else is the queen. Now, there are many problems with this. Among other things, you have no guarantee that the British of the future are you. The only guarantee you have is that your children are half you. That is the only thing you really know. Whether in a million years from now the British are still British, I mean, whether in 10 years from now, you don't know, so let alone a million year. But you know for sure that in a million year, your descendants have exactly the fraction of genes that is like an exponent of 2 divided across the number of generation, where you are losing half every generation. That's one thing you know. And that is so much more powerful than a maybe. One given is better than 2 maybes, you know, and 1 today is better than 2 tomorrow. And to revert to a kin selection route as a strategy is exactly what sterile worker ants have done. And what has happened to them evolutionarily is that they have lost control of their reproductive fate. They have delegated it to a central entity. And you are delegating it to a central entity. When you say, I want to preserve the British genetic pool, what do you know about the fitness of the British genetic pool in the coming millions of years? All you can really know is that if you have descendants that make it alive, they will still carry a number of guaranteed genes from you. Then some coming in says, or better yet, work in a sperm bank and replace all the sperm with yours. Sounds like something JF would do. I might do it, but I truly believe as a European man in the importance of father contribution to the education of children. So to me, having 10,000 babies is less good than having 10 babies and educating them properly. Some random bloke says, hey JF, there will be 4.5 billion Africans in Africa alone by 2100. 50% want to immigrate to Europe. 25% of Latin Americans want to move to the US. We are absolutely stuck. We are, which has been my point. There is no hope for Western civilization. There is hope for a civilizational signal to survive in pockets of white people that will just go on like the Amish and survive through a world that will change around them. But restoring the demographic state of nations, forget it. It's not happening. So you have to look where it's cold, north, and move in that direction. Until you can't move anymore, until you freeze in place. And just then, once you find that point where you freeze in place as you're walking, then you can step back one step and establish there. Because there's one thing that will stop these flows of equatorial populations coming toward you, and it's cold, it's snow, and you need higher snow than a human can walk through. That's the amount of snow you need around you. Trump said neutral, but MAGA Republicans meddling Democrats win big in New Hampshire's fiery GOP primaries So the result from New Hampshire primaries are that the Trump sympathetic candidates, although they were not supported explicitly by Trump, they won. They won, and to the pleasure of Trump, and then to the pleasure apparently of Democrats, because the Democrats, they have this whole idea that the normies will not want to vote for a far-right Republican. Not sure you know the normies very well. I think the Democrats may be wrong on this. But we'll see. We'll see in the midterms if the extremism of Trump candidates ends up finishing them in the booth. But it's mostly a left media creation, the idea that this is extremism. I mean, even the idea that we were extremists or that I'm an extremist, all of it is fiction. But the idea that these Trump, MAGA, just very bland candidates are somehow enemies of democracy and they are extremist terrorists because they supported or talked about January 6th, that is not something that the normie population will take in very much. Quite. Spends $41. Thank you so much. He says, what if the man has a brother and cousins with many kids, and instead of spending money on his half-Asian kids, he can help his brother and cousin make more kids or help those kids have kids? Again, he is a sterile worker. Please understand. Once you are abandoning your own dick and saying, I will fund the dick of someone else, you are doing exactly what the ant has done. You are saying, all right, I just emerged into life. I've just been given birth by a queen. Instead of going about follow my reproductive interest, I will stay around my queen and I will make sure that she has really good babies. That's what the ant colonies have done. Do that for 50 million years and you're a robot just accomplishing tasks for your queen. That is what it is. It is there's nothing more in the evolution of colonies than a guy who abandoned his own dick for the dick of his mother. It's weird, but it's what it is. For the dick of his father and inseminating his mother. If you want to live that lifestyle, go for it. But it's not a lifestyle that will survive the environment of sexual selection in humans, which have led to everything great about us. It's an environment that leads to, by the way, when you help your cousins in that way, you may be transmitting the genes of cuckoldry down the line. Because if you're being a cuckold that way, if you're being what we call a kin selectionist cuckold, you are also spreading kin selectionist cuckold genes. Now, I'm telling you, one day, the descendants of your cousins will turn out to be generous to someone. He will misfire towards someone that is not quite his cousin. And your entire line of descent from there will have been diluted. There is no guarantee other than the guarantee of well-living babies that you can see are your children and that you can test genetically are your children. Prince Harry's tell-all book, what will he reveal and could memoir? And by the way, I'm not saying if you are in a circumstance where you can't have babies, then sure, helping your cousins, helping your brothers, that's the best thing you can do. But this doesn't affect 99% of the population, so I will not stand here and tell you that it's a decent path to take. It's a path that you can be put in accidentally. Maybe there was an accident when you were young. A wood chipper was just being carried and somehow your balls got stuck in it. Then yes, you know, don't desperate with life. Use your best, live your best non-bald life and try to help people who are genetically similar to you to survive. But that's a last measure resort. This shouldn't be your strategy from the start. Quite. Since $31, he says, since only about 20% of men throughout history has ever made kids, Isn't this something men have always been doing? Less competent men helping his brother and cousins having kids? No, that's a misunderstanding of why men have been deprived of reproduction. Men have been deprived of reproduction because of two factors. Female choice. And so some men are basically dead-end evolutionarily just because female choice clusters toward the high-status male, and they will end up just living meaningless lives as naked warriors, just going about their lives in a way that they were programmed to, but that has no meaning to their own reproduction. Most of the men who didn't have babies didn't also have brothers that they could help to have babies. So this kind of collaboration with brothers is not frequent enough in human population. Although brothers are sympathetic to each other, they don't literally, help the production of more babies. They may just help where the help has a very low threshold and low cost to them. So basically, most of the men who end up not having babies also don't help very much the brothers and cousins. Now, the second reason, and I suspect it's one of the biggest, the second reason why a lot of men end up having no children in history, and we know that from genetic tests that indicate that basically there are two times more women than men who reproduce. That's mind-bending, but it is what it is. So basically, individual men have either no baby or a lot of babies, but women tend to have an average number of baby that is more average, but that is spread out across the female population. The second reason why men don't have babies is they end up dying in history. The reason is they are the meat cannons of every war. So if you are in a society that sends its youth to war, if you succeed at being one of the men that do not make it to war or that makes it and survives, then you will end up having more vaginas available to you. Whether you're on the losing side of the war or the winning side, basically the war reproductively can be seen as a war between the men who will survive it to get the pussies of the men that will not survive it. That is what war is. It's not Germany against US. It's, holy shit, I have to do a debarkment in Normandy, but after this, I get to drop by in France, and I have all these medals and this little cute military costume, and I can fuck a French woman who has lost all her family in the war. That is what war is. It's a war between the men who survive it and the men who don't. That is the true axis of the interest of war. The axis not of evil, but an axis of reproductive fitness. White spends $41. So he says, so am I really cocked because I don't have kids and never will? And am I giving you money which will help you? Am I a cock for helping finance you? Well, I appreciate your donations, so I will not call you a cock for something that you do that I enjoy. That being said, if you had at the start of your life and you were a reproductive 20-year-old and you were to say, JF, I'm going to give you super chats instead of having babies, that would be something I consider you as a cock for. But that's not your situation as far as I can understand it. You say you will never have kids, so definitely you are in a situation where maybe you're too old, or maybe you have a dysfunction that keeps you from having kids. But if you were to choose to forego having kids for the purpose of helping the show, I would actually recommend against this. And I would tell you it's not in your advantage. You are entering the cuckold life. Go make babies and then give me less super chats. But that doesn't seem to be a possibility for you. Thomas Howard says, Jeff will have a positive take for you on this matter. White. Firestarter says, white, you should have kids. Yeah, definitely. I would like to hear from you if you say you won't have kids for sure. Is that because you have a physical dysfunction or you're too old? Or is it by choice? I would like to hear this one. Some random bloke says, hey, Jeff, what do you see the future of Israel to be? I don't think they can survive in the long term. That's an interesting question. We were talking about these things in 2016 and 17, and it was so edgy. And yet, you know, it's not an edgy suggestion to look at reality and see that Israel is perhaps too hated by the neighbors, such that if it wasn't of the support of the US, they may not have survived even up to now. So you can imagine a post-America future where America has much less power. That would be a future also in which Israel is under very high threat of disappearing. That would be my guess for the future, that as soon as this whole alliance between Western Europe, America, and Israel falls, not that the alliance itself will fall, but it will become less powerful with time, then I would expect Israel is likely to disappear in some form, probably be occupied by Muslim populations at some point. But then you have still the technological superiority of Israel because America made it that way. How long can that keep them? Maybe 20 years, maybe 40 years. But this region is so Islamicized that having this little triangle survive as non-Muslim is very surprising, and it doesn't sound stable to me historically. It seems that the more they will be surrounded by Muslim population, and there will be more pressure for Israel to eventually become a Muslim nation. Thomas Howard says, bring white into the Discord waiting room. He deserves the opportunity to tell his story. Well, I mean, I could if he wants, but I just want to know, can we convince him of having babies, or is that impossible for him? Because if it's impossible, I won't bother. There are reasons why it becomes impossible to make babies. But if he's like a 35-year-old, 40-year-old MG Tao, I would encourage him to try one last time. Especially with all this money, white. You are giving me so much money. To me, it's pretty clear that you could invite a young woman to some dinner or something. He sends a $40 super chat. He says, my whole life I have had severe facial tics and never wanted to pass that on to kids. I then got into a relationship with a woman who couldn't have kids, and we've been together for over 15 years. I am now 40. Ah, well, that sounds okay. You know, if I would have told you, like, if I had talked to you at the beginning of this relationship, perhaps it would have been worth to tell you that your facial tics, you know, don't let them worry you. Maybe you have a basal ganglia problem of some kind. Chances are that some of your kids won't have it. And so if I had talked to you in the past, I would have told you, you should try reproducing. You know, let's not forget that evolution keeps making things better. And whatever, if you had 10 children and suppose that the gene is very strong and that maybe two or three of them have your facial tics, there would still be seven of them without your facial tic. And, you know, evolution would have made its way and led to people without the facial tic in the future. But in your situation where you are paired with a woman who couldn't have children and you have spent that much time with her, then I would do the same. I would probably just say, all right, I will enjoy my life. The game was sent me in a set of decisions that led me to be non-reproductive, but it's okay, and I will I will enjoy the blessing that it is to be a conscious being in this world. I think it makes total sense. You know, once I had we had Vlad, who was a very early audience member, and he's been with us for a long time. And he was talking to me about political arguments that he was getting in with his girlfriend. And they kind of got at each other constantly. And I remember asking Vlad, because Vlad was all into our kind of coverage that we do here. So he was all about, all right, I want to have babies. And I said to Vlad, let's say if you discovered that this girlfriend is infertile, would you drop her or would you continue? I had presented a situation where she was 95% infertile. So there was still a chance that he may have one baby over her life, but it was a flip coin and he would have to try very hard. And I said, would you drop her and abandon her, or would you stay with her and just dedicate the rest of your life to her and try to get that maybe one baby? And he said, I would drop her immediately. And I was like, well, you guys don't love each other. Like, you are arguing against each other politically. You're like, she just has value to the extent that she can produce baby. That doesn't sound like love to me. And I recommended that they realign their life to full dedication and the understanding that when you get together with someone, at least in a society that has this conception that I have, which is monogamous European lifestyle, you are sacrificing a lot of your opportunity, but she is sacrificing a lot of her opportunities for you. And that the essence of monogamy is to say, yes, I'm making the full sacrifice to be with that person and to let nature decide if we should have babies, which probably people like Mama JF would say, let God decide. And I think that's a beautiful way to live. So personally, although people were trying to get you to convince you to make babies, and at 40 years old, you technically could. But sometimes you decide to believe more in monogamy and dedication than merely for the gene count and the baby count. And that's a totally decent way to live, as far as I'm concerned. Fractal Man says, plot twist, white saves humanity from TRP by not having kids and funding JF. Yeah, that could happen. That is what's happening at this moment, basically. In on the ground floor says, are you not using Entropy anymore? No, it's just that it's rare that I get a super chat. So sometimes I take 10 minutes without looking at it. So thank you, Peaceful Observer. Gen X Peaceful Observer. Are you a Gen X man who is a Peaceful Observer, or are you a peaceful observer of the Generation X? He says, you will be left alone in Canada as long as you are a sterile worker. More about Westworld, please. Well, I'm not a sterile worker, thank you. But, and he says on a comment, he said, as a mixed Slav / Aryan / Nord, I chose to support my Aryan friend's family instead of creating more mixed babies. I will not continue the sins of my father. Is that a troll or is that true? Is that a Viking watching my show and saying, you know, don't reproduce don't reproduce with the non-Viking English. Help your boat make it to Sweden so that the Vikings can continue their existence. I don't know. Or is that a guy who truly believes this and he's not a Viking and he's just a current guy? Man, this is so beautiful when we are at the on the fence between trolling and reality. I have no idea. Because I imagine that this guy could be not a Gen X person, but a time-traveling Viking. And he's telling us, as a time-traveling Viking, I have chosen to support my friends, family, for creating then rather than creating more mixed babies with the land with the land-based European population. He says not a troll. Okay, it's not a troll. Well, it's a choice that you can make to a young person who has a lot of life ahead of them. I would recommend against that choice. But there is a time at which you say, all right, I'm giving up on the market of reproduction, and that's totally fine. And then there's no reason then to be living a bad life. You want to enjoy life as much as you can. We just don't want to create such an hedonistic pursuit that all of the old generations are telling to the youth, well, all that matters is living a good life. No, it's not all that matters. The first thing that matters is making babies. And then if you don't have babies for one reason or another, it's fine doing something else and enjoying life. Now, he said more about Westworld. I've been watching a little more Westworld. I've gotten to season two at this point. Today, Westworld is still amazing. I get that season two is a little more confusing and a little less perfect. But personally, I still enjoy it. I don't know if it will get worse at season three, four, but it's still the meta thing that I really like. Basically, yeah, and yesterday I didn't make it justice because I didn't talk much about the content. I just like Westworld. I guess if you wanted to hear something else, it would be that it's a fascinating three-layer meta structure where you have three layers of interpretation in Westworld. You have, okay, this is a fictional world made up of robots where people go for tourism of some kind, either sexual or killing for fun. Then you have the company that's managing this space, which is not a virtual space, it's a physical space, but filled with robots. But you have the third level, which is basically the company then is writing a script for people to enjoy. They're writing their robots, they're programming their AIs to be in a certain way. And then you have the whole fact that this is a story that you're looking at on the screen, and you have a lot of references to screenwriting, philosophy, and just the idea of what makes a good story. And the theme of the first season has been built very much around a story is a lie that allows to find the best version of yourself. So basically, a story deceives, but it leads you to a greater truth because you can see yourself in that story, in that lie, and it reveals the true you. So basically, there's the whole theme of sometimes you have to lie a little bit to get to a greater truth. It's interesting. And season two looks like it's more war based and it makes the thing less emotional, but still, they have these passage from different times. And you know, in Lost, you have past, present, past, present, past, present, and then they move to a season and it's future, present, future, present. What really stunned me about Westworld season one is there is a non-structured, timeless dimension to it. Because you get to experience what ends up being the past of the robots, but the robots get to remember it all in an instant because they didn't have access to these memories. And therefore, it's not so much the past. It's really, you have past, present, but it's all like a block. It's like the universe block theory of physics. The block universe, that's how they call it. Where time is just one dimension and you get dumped the whole deterministic structure all at once. That's a little bit what I felt in Westworld season one. Sensum says Westworld goes to shit as it goes on. Crazy Catman says it dies badly after season two. Some great concepts, but they lose Anthony Hopkins and go down a stupid path story-wise, in my opinion. I'm afraid that everyone has been saying this, so I'm afraid that you guys must be right and that I will find the same thing. But up to now, beginning of season two, I'm still enjoying it. White, since $21. He says, I think there is a thing in people that if you're weak or messed up in some way, you want to help others in your family pass on their genes, then pass your own on. Okay, so you feel that perhaps there is even an instinct to kind of self-cancel and become more outward and more donating to the people around you. There might very well be. That's the kind of thing that can evolve. What else do we have in the news? Oh, we have a Ted Kaczynski-like individual. Exploding package that injured Northeastern University worker had note criticizing Zuckerberg and academia's relationship with virtual reality developers, sources say. I suspect we have someone who idolizes Ted Kaczynski and is trying to reproduce the same. Now, this didn't lead to any death. Apparently, it was a package that kind of exploded, but there were no explosives and there were no powder of some kind that would trigger. There were no traces of electronics. So exactly what was the working principle, I don't know. But somehow it was a package that created friction and a kind of explosion-like effect, perhaps pressure-based. I don't know how it worked, but it caused some minor end injury to the university worker. And apparently it didn't pass through USPS. It was hand-delivered, perhaps, because it wasn't coming from the mail. So somehow this guy went and dropped this at a virtual reality center, development center. The Democrats are calling to, we gotta kill MAGA extremists. Of course, you don't even need to use the word kill when you're a Republican and they will put it in your mouth. But now that people on the left are literally using the word kill, well, they don't mean it for real. We're not talking about actual killing. We're talking about killing on the election. No? Some family, I had covered this news back in the days. There was a bakery that was in a university college type of place, and they had been smeared as racist by the university itself. And they have won $36.6 million in damages for being basically falsely accused of racism. Because, you know, when you have a situation where, some false accusation emerges, but then an official voice like the university writes an email to students, giving credence to this false story, then they are responsible for defamation. So I find it absolutely amazing that we have succeeded at getting some major damage reimbursement here, because there's so much smearing and false racism appearing in society. Hopefully, some people can at least recover the damages. Armenia warns allies that clashes are spiraling toward war. Azerbaijan has taken territory. So the frictions between Azerbaijan and Armenia are continuing. I don't know where the empire will fall here, because it seems that Russia is allied with one of the countries, but I'm not sure that the US is very strongly allied with the other. So we'll see what that results in. Parkland shooting trial. Judge lashes out at defense lawyers after they rested their case. So apparently the defense lawyers still had 40 witnesses to go through on their list. but they just decided to say we rest our case. And the judge was pissed because he said you should have warned me in advance so that we could have time to prepare the counter arguments so that the jury wouldn't have to be sent home. And the judge is a female judge. It's a female judge and a female defense lawyer. The judge has been complaining. I honestly have never experienced this level of unprofessionalism in my career. It's unbelievable. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. You've been insulting me the entire trial, blatantly taking your headphones off, arguing with me, storming out, coming late intentionally. If you don't like my rulings. A little bit of a catfight here as more and more females are in charge of the legal process. The old argument of the defense is that this school shooter, Nicholas Cruz, suffers from, how do they call it? The alcohol fetal syndrome. Which makes sense to me. I mean, I'm not saying that he shouldn't be found guilty, but it raises the question, you know, should anyone not be found guilty just because they have a mental disorder? But it does look like his mother was drinking when he was in the belly, so he was always a problematic child. If we're going to give free criminal passes to people with mental disorder, how is this guy not deserving of this pass? But the system is so arbitrary in terms of finding people mentally incompetent for criminal purposes. I find it absolutely ridiculous. I think we should have an approach where you are punished for the act, not for for your mental state around the act or you're having of a mental disorder that excuses the act. Basically, the goal of a prison is to keep people who are likely to commit these acts away from society so that they don't commit them. I have to cough one moment. All right, what else do we have in the news before we conclude? California sues Amazon over alleged antitrust violations, inflated prices. The state of California has sued Amazon.com, claiming that the online retail giant's contracts with third-party sellers and wholesalers resulted in inflated prices for goods, stifled competition, and violate the state's antitrust and unfair competition laws. The arbitrary application of these antitrust laws, it's like, oh, if you're going to go after anyone who has a monopoly, why don't you go after YouTube? Why don't you go after, because yes, there are alternatives to YouTube, the same way there are alternatives to Amazon. The problem is, Amazon is still the place where most things I will find that I cannot find anywhere else. So I want competition, but can we force it by law, given that Amazon has just been making the work to basically be a very open platform with basically everything on it? And so if I want a specific type of very specialized electronic, I know that I'm going to find it on Amazon, and I'm going to find it nowhere in stores. So is it the fault of Amazon if there's not other stores that are doing the right thing and having as good of a selection as they do? Quite sends $51. Thank you so much. He says, so if some people have the instinct to not have kids when they're broken, the group with people like that in it would be able to focus on the best of the group having kids over just everyone having kids. That group would get strong and be more able to preserve their genetics through time. Like, with the blindfolds on about the reality of long-term human existence, yes, you can imagine a local situation local in time, restricted in space, where this effectively happens, and where a society outcompetes another just out of the inner generosity and systems of collaboration that exist with it. I do not deny this, but, well, I do not deny this. This is the selfish gene in action. This has been falsely represented in history as group selection. It's not. It's not a different kind of selection than selfish gene. And also, note that on the very long term, these societies have all these societies of inner generosity have all converged toward being invaded and exploited by the outside. So if you want to be a successful kin selectionist, you have to first tell me, how are you going to convince a society of millions of people across hundreds of generations to be and remain always close to the outside? If you don't have a solution to this, and I don't believe we do, I mean, how would you even have any meme survive 1,000 years? I'm talking to you here about having a meme of self-preservation surviving thousands of years. Religion has kind of done this, but that's all. And so you're going to start your own religion that's going to warn the people of the future of the society that you're so generous toward, that they shouldn't welcome everyone. To me, that's not a realistic way of perpetuity. To me, these systems of generosity will be parasitized. They will be exploited. And the only defense you have against this is to ensure that you have individuals that truly carry your genes in the next generation, and then in the next after, and then in the next after. That is, you need a chain of descent and baby making that can survive any future parasitic scenario. And to me, there's nothing else than a pure line of descent from you that can do this. Schemes of generosity and societal caring, all of them will end up finding their match in terms of exploitability possibility. Ultimately, what we need are baby ninjas that can survive a post-apocalyptic world, not generous societies that happen to work well in 1938. Gen X Peaceful Observer sends a super chat. He says, haven't watched in a while. Did you see Warski get knocked out? Yes, I had a show. You can go back to check 2 weeks ago. Actually, it's the picture of Warski on the thumbnail. And throughout the show, I have played in a repeating loop the knocking off of Warski. That was a beautiful moment that I fully enjoyed. But you can go watch the show. It's still definitely on the Odyssey channel. A prologue to Third World War. Kremlin reacts to security guarantees for Ukraine. Of course, I don't know. Is Russia in for a full open war with Western powers? I don't know. Perhaps they're just starting with Ukraine. And finally, as a last news item, well, news item, I wanted to tell you, someone sent me this, a film called White Man's Burden. I may have heard about this film, but I'm not sure I've ever seen it. So apparently it's one of these movies where John Travolta, being a white man, is transferred into the body of a black man. And a black man is transferred into the body of John Travolta. And it's all about, you know, racism. And apparently it was in 1995. So it's all about... well, here's the story. Set in an alternative America. Okay, so they don't transfer body. It's just an alternative fictitious society in which the social economic positions of black people and white people are reversed, Okay, I thought it was like the face of thing where they transfer the mind or the face. Yes, face of spinner. I thought it was this. I don't know where. Is it on the Discord? Maybe someone gave me the impression that it was this. But no, it is just a fictitious separate society where white people are black people and black people are white people. That is funny. I might watch it. But that is it for tonight, boys. Much love. Thank you so much to the people who have supported the show through super chats. White being extremely generous tonight. Silver Spider Silver Spider, I didn't read your chat. He said, "Hey Jeff, I watched the Dawson versus Dyer theism debate. It was very similar to your debate with Dyer years ago. Dyer is still up to his old tricks. How can we put the transcendental argument to bed once and for all?" Well, it is very simple. The answer to the answer to this argument is simply to say, you are perceiving things in the way I speak, which I haven't said. So that's the first thing. Please respect that what you think about me is not necessarily what I'm claiming. That's the first thing. The second thing is, if you think that you have access to universal truths through your head, you're going to have to explain to me how can a limited and finite brain access unlimited and infinite truths. Truth requires a truth-checking mechanism, and therefore the truth-checking mechanism is always more complex than the truth that is being checked. Because not only does it have to store that truth as a theoretical principle, but it has to test it for its truth. So it has two components rather than one. So a brain that can check a truth is always more complex than the truth itself. You can see this principle in mathematics. So your brain must be much more complex than 2 plus 2 equals 4 to be able to say for sure that 2 plus 2 equals 4. So when these presuppositionalists invoke as part of their argument that there must be some universal truth, they are wrong. Their brain is limited and it doesn't have access to godly or universal truth or whatever it is that they want to call it. They are deceiving themselves into having access to truths that they don't really have. So to anyone who makes a claim of universal truth, you have to say you don't have the methods and capacities to come with that claim. You are claiming to be a representative of a truth that you have not verified. And that's it. That's the end of the discussion, because then all they have is trying to put other words in your mouth. They're going to say, oh, well, you are talking English. Why are you talking if you don't think that there's a universal truth? Well, maybe I'm talking because I believe there's a local truth. Maybe I believe that my brain has access to some truthful statement. But maybe these statements are limited to the universe in which I'm located. Well, if you want to argue that there are no universal truths, you're going to have to argue that there are no universal truth. And that would be a universal truth. Gotcha. Inner loop. No, I could be an incomplete being having incomplete perceptions about an incomplete world to which I have incomplete access. And yet my phrases might be useful to some other incomplete being. I know it's disappointing, but that's just where this discussion leads systematically. That's all there is to it. The presuppositionalists are deceived into thinking that they have access to something they don't have access to. White sends $11. He says, if you have kids with an Asian, and that kid makes a baby with an Indian, and that kid makes a babies with an African, after 100 generations, how much of you is left genetically? The answer is you know, pretty much basically the same amount as if you had two generations of per British reproduction followed by whatever history will have imposed on the series of descendants to this line. Basically, let us not forget that the concept of a British genetic nuclei will not survive 100,000 years. It may not survive 10,000 years. So whatever you do in terms of your reproduction strategy, if it is based around a conception of I want to breed with a British because I'm British, you may have a local truth that may be aligned to your interests right now, but it is not the solution to human perpetuity. And perhaps the Asian, Indian, and then that gets a kid with an Indian, and then that gets a kid with an African, that may be the solution to perpetuity. So don't restrict your possibilities. Yes, genetic nuclei make sense, but they are not endless and timeless. They are locally true, and they make sense in our world. But they cannot be the end-all be-all of your reproductive strategy. That is it for tonight, Buzz. Much love, and I will see you all tomorrow. Thank you.